So what happens in the time travel is the equations incorporate time into the equations for the first time. Sort of in Newtonian physics, time was kind of a side thing. And Newton says time just flows uniformly. He just really doesn't worry about it.
Okay.
But Einstein, for the first time, brings time into it. Because we know everything that happens happens in time. And so this, what happens is, in mathematically, is that it's like a line that gets bent into a circle. So you take the two ends of a line and you connect them up and you make a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And what that can do is, if you take time as just simply being a line, is that now you have the beginning of time hooked up to the end of time.
That's right, a circle.
A circle. And, of course, the problem with that interpretation of simplistic interpretation of translating the mathematics to the layman's language is that time isn't a line. I mean, time doesn't exist all at once. I'm not a little boy anymore. I'm an adult, and the same with you. And so that what happens in time, as Aristotle noted so long ago, is that time is qualitatively different than space, and that is, you are something now, but in a few moments you'll be something a little bit different. Or you might, in the case of an apple hanging on the tree, in a moment the apple might be part of you. And so time is not the same as a line, even though we represent it as a line. But so forward time travel would be intrinsically impossible because it's saying you're going back to something that doesn't exist anymore. But backward time travel is impossible.
What I thought. I thought forward was perhaps possible theoretically, and a lot of people, including you apparently, are saying travel into the past. No.
Yes, but travel into the future is a different thing. And matter of fact, we do that all the time. But by just standing, we go forward into the future. We can't help it. Things happen to us. But the question is, what is time? That's really the key question. And time, and Aristotle actually got this definition right, and that is that time is the measure of motion. Where you have no motion, you have no time.
Right. If there were but one planet Earth and there were no other heavenly bodies, there would be nothing to measure against.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, we notice that there's a central sort of time, a central sort of governing motion. For example, the Earth going around the sun creates the season, and the seasons create all the different motions, sub-motions that you have on the Earth.
So
animals hibernate in the winter, and the rotation of the Earth creates the day-night cycle that, you know, that makes us go in the house and turn on the lights.
So then theoretically, Professor, there would be, prior to the Big Bang, for example, theoretically, there would have been no time.
That's right, because of the fact that there is no, because when there is no motion, there is no time. And so if there is nothing there, then there's, I mean, if there's nothing there, then there's nothing to move, so there's no time.
All right.
Time is the measure of motion.
If you were charged with coming up with a device that would allow time travel, toward what avenue would you move down?
So time travel actually already, in the sense that I think you're thinking about, which is getting in a capsule, pressing a button,
yes,
and then waking up 100 years later, we already have that in some sense. And every time somebody takes one of these little embryos and sticks them in liquid nitrogen for 5 years, let's just take a hypothetical case of somebody who had cloned an embryo. So you have two identical embryos.
Right.
One gets put in a petri dish and frozen, and the other one is implanted into his mother and grows up and becomes, say, 4.5 years old, you know, gestation time plus whatever's left of the 5 years. And then what happens is that the one that grew up is 5 years in the future, and when this one is finally implanted, he will see that 5 years has passed, that he never lived, that his brother did live.
Okay, but
so we already have that. But in special relativity, you have something else, and that is, so in other words, what was happening to that embryo? That embryo that was frozen, he was isolated from the other changes that were happening.
Right.
So the idea to move forward in time without yourself being affected is to slow down the changes that are happening to you.
Yes.
And what happens in special relativity is just that, is that if you travel fast enough, apparently you decouple yourself somehow. And so now you can do the same analogy with the famous thing of the traveling twins, where one twin is like a guy that likes to stay at home, the other one likes to travel. He goes off, and he comes back and finds his twin 100 years older. And that's because as he's traveling, he's somehow decoupling himself from the motions of the universe. Less things happen to him than his stay-at-home twin.
But I am talking about the kind of device that you referenced. In other words, the ability to, and I understand the parallels you've drawn with the embryo, for example. It's a kind of time travel, sure.
Yeah.
But I really do mean creating some device or something that would actually allow somebody to move, presumably by what you're saying, permanently and irrevocably into the future.
So that would the thing would be something that would decouple. In other words, the chamber would have to be something that would decouple you from the changes in the world without destroying your current. In other words, freeze your current state.
Yes.
That's what it would be. And so, in other words, less has to happen to you because what is time? Time is a measure of motion. And if you have no motion, or you have little motion, that relative to the rest of the universe, that means you're being held and not advancing in time.
Okay, I'll buy it, but again, so that you're referring to some sort of suspended animation, for example.
Yes, for example.
But what about an actual device, he says again, that would thrust you into the future? The time machine kind of thing.
And why would you consider that not the time machine?
Oh. I fully accept it. So as you've laid it out, I'm just trying to travel that step. An electronic device, perhaps using a great deal of power so much power we don't even have it right now, but something that would distort time and space and allow a jump.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue that that is that jump. The problem is that we have a picture of time as a line. And so as soon as you picture time as a line, then you can imagine somehow jumping over the line. But in actual fact, that time is not a line. Time is the passage of what actually is into what can only potentially be, but then it becomes actual. So I'm potentially able to get older, and then I do get older. And so basically a time machine, in the sense you're talking about, is what we just said. It has to be a machine that somehow decouples you from the rest of the motions of the universe.